Okay, so I want to continue with speaking about grace, a year of grace. I felt God saying to me that this year will be a year of grace. Grace, the goodness of God overflowing our lives, the goodness of God in our midst. Grace speaks of things aren't a struggle. It's not hard. It's like, it's working. Christianity works when there is grace. And so I was speaking the past few weeks about how do you access that grace? How do we connect with the grace of God? Okay, so this promise, a year of grace. So we've been speaking about how do you access the grace? I remember I went to church for the first 18 years of my life. I probably didn't click anything before the age of 10, but after that I probably clicked a little bit more. But I remember church was a struggle for me. The 1 hour felt like 10. Don't know if you've experienced that, but it wasn't exciting. It was like God was dead in a sense. We all come together to talk about this historical figure, somebody wonderful, this good man that lived 2,000 years ago. And so we reminisce about the good times and we read the Bible and we see the miracles that happened and we think, wow, that was awesome. And we excited about that. But for me as a young person, I was thinking, does God exist? You know, I didn't see any manifest proof of his existence. I couldn't see anything about this God who created heaven and earth, who's supposed to be so powerful, but I'm not seeing any power. I'm not seeing lives changed. I'm seeing my friends and myself drinking on the Saturday night and really getting drunk, and then we come to church on Sunday because it's also the right thing to do. And then everybody just sits there and we go through the motions. But we're wondering, where is God? Where is God? And I'm asking myself, Lord, is that what church is about, supposed to be about? A group of people coming together, reminiscing about 2,000 years ago. Reminiscing about somebody who lived so long ago. Or God, is there supposed to be something more? And that's in a sense what happened to me when I was 19. I came to a church called Shofar at Stellenbosch, and I met a few men and women who have experienced the presence of God. I have, in this life, I met a few people that have seen the power of God moving in their midst. And you might be thinking, but it's not about the power of God. You see, if you and I don't know the power of God, we don't know God. You will misunderstand him. You will misunderstand the scriptures. There's this one bit where Jesus, he rebukes the Pharisees and he says, guys, you are mistaken. For you neither know the scriptures nor the power of God. You are mistaken. Pharisees, you don't know God. I am, Jesus was saying to them. I am. I'm standing right in front of you and you're missing me because you don't know the power of God. And so I'm saying to myself, I'm telling myself, I say, God, we need to know your power because you are power. We need to know your love because you are love. Everything that we know is being held together by the power and the presence of God. And that's why worship is so important. That's why praising God is so important. Because the scripture says we enter his courts with thanksgiving, his gates, his courts with thanksgiving and his gates with praise. It's something about stepping into the throne room of the living God when we praise him. When you and I realize how big he is, how glorious he is. And so this evening, I want to share a little bit about that. I want to talk to you about this one facet of God where his blood speaks. Last week, I started to speak about the blood of Jesus Christ. And I'm continuing to share with you about the blood that speaks. So I'll answer this question for yourself. Should Christianity be theoretical only? Should we read our Bibles and feel nice maybe in our hearts a little bit, sort of, you know, yeah, did your little Bible study for the evening, but you don't see God at work. You don't see God at church. You don't see God in the midst of your friends and families. Who wants to settle for that? I don't want to. I'm saying, God, I need you. And over the last years since I've come to know God, I have seen him touch lives. It's glorious. It is beautiful. To see somebody who was down and out turn completely around. That's amazing. I remember I was in Stellenbosch in hostel there. And I was in, me and a friend of mine were roommates. He's now a pastor as well. And so there was these two guys that moved in next door to us. And in the evenings, if you would walk down the aisle, you will smell this sweet smell in the passage. And you'd realize they were smoking some interesting stuff. And they were drinking heavily and not studying much. But I remember, so we started to pray for these guys. And then the one evening, I was sitting there. I was in the middle of my engineering week. I studied engineering. It was, say, day 3. I didn't have a clue. It was 8 o'clock the evening. I was stressed beyond my imagination. I'm going to fail. I'm at page 30 of 300. I'm writing the next morning. I'm really stressed. And then I hear a voice behind me saying, "Can I have your Bible, please?" And I thought it was one of my friends down the passage. And it was one of these guys. He wanted my Bible. And I think, that's weird. And so I turned around, I gave him my Bible, and he said, no, he watched Pulp Fiction. And just before they blow out somebody's brains, they quote a scripture in Ezekiel about the vengeance of God. And he just wants to check if it's really in the Bible. And so I turned around, I gave him the Bible, I sort of showed him where Ezekiel is. And then I realized, now this is my moment. I wrote on my front of my desk, I wrote, God gives opportunities, but we must take them. So now I'm realizing, study, I'm going to fail. Or somebody's eternal salvation. So I turned to the man and I said, okay, this could be a long night. But it was amazing. Within 15 minutes, the man was crying. This guy was crying, the tears were running down his face as I just testified of what God has been doing in my life. And then I just backed off, didn't pray with him immediately. And then the next day or 2 days later, he came back to me and my roommate and said he wants to give his life to God. And so we prayed with him right there. His name is Frikkie. And I'll never forget his response. After we prayed for him, his face, he looked different. It was like he's a different man. He was this morbid, negative guy. And I was like, wow. It's like he was blind and now he sees. It was awesome. And I'll never forget what he said. He told me, this is amazing. You guys lived next to me for 3 months. And look at me now. The world doesn't stand a chance. That was like God speaking through this new believer. The world doesn't stand a chance if they come face to face with the love of God and the power of God to transform them into a new person. And I so want to share this with you because I sometimes feel I have tasted. See it. Let the fire burn in your heart. Let the excitement grip you. And so we go through life satisfied with the religious experience talking about a historical Jesus when he is here now to transform lives. And wherever you go as a believer, Jesus goes with you. And he can do the same through you. You must just realize it. The power of God. We need it. And so Acts 4:33 says, and with great power the apostles gave witness. They gave witness to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. And great power. grace was upon them all. What did they do? They just testified of what they have seen. They saw Jesus being risen from the grave, and they just went out and said, "Guys, he's risen. He is not dead. He is not in the grave. He is risen." And we should do the same. My question is, have you come to meet the resurrected Christ where you can say, "I know my God is alive right now"? That's why I don't mind doing this, what I'm doing. I don't bother laying down my life for God, because he's not a historical figure. He's alive right now. And I'm trusting that this year we will experience this. And great grace was upon them all. Upon them all. And so I said the last few weeks, I shared the door to grace is a promise. So this would be the door to grace, which is on the other side, is a promise. But the opening, the unlocking of the door is the blood of Jesus Christ. I'm going to share a little bit more about the blood, the precious blood of Jesus. It is so powerful. Revelation 12, verse 11. It says there, "And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they did not love their lives to the death." And they did not love their lives to the death. If you look back at the apostles at the time where Jesus ascended into heaven and he said, "Guys, now go into all the world," they were a handful. They were in the upper room, 120. They brought the Roman Empire to its knees. They changed the known world. And God has done the same thing nation after nation. If you read history, you'll hear of nations falling apart and God moving and turning a whole nation upside down or up right side up within a few short years. Can our God change South Africa? Absolutely. Can our God bring our president and the whole cabinet to their knees? Absolutely. He's doing it in other nations. There are so many stories of when nations, where the president, the cabinet, all of them coming to Christ and starting to proclaim Jesus over that nation as Lord and ruler. We needn't be negative. We needn't be despondent. If the church of the living God stands up in this nation, or even just in East London, if every church in this town gets up and believes in a now God, a living Christ, I guarantee you will change this town. It'll never be the same again. Guaranteed. I believe. Do you? Because you see how it works is, when the Israelites were in the wilderness, just before they wanted to go into the promised land, they sent out 12 spies. And the 12 spies came back, and two of them said, "We can do this." Caleb and Joshua. They said, "We can do this. Giants, we'll take them down." But another 10 said, "Oh, no, they're too big. Oh, no, we can't do this. Oh, no, have you seen the fortresses, the mighty walls?" They were saying, "Oh, have you seen the state of South Africa? Have you seen the corruption? Have you seen the state of our education? Have you seen, have you seen, have you seen?" Yes, I've seen. Our God has done it before, and he can do it again. But Caleb and Joshua couldn't enter the promised land, although they believed, until the rest also said, "We believe." They had to wait 40 years. And in a sense, I'm sharing this with you this evening because I'm saying, you know, the Lord is speaking to my heart and saying, he's really wanting to do something in this town. He wants to save. He wants to heal. He wants to set free. He wants to heal marriages. He wants to provide for those who have nothing. He wants to give hope to those who are in depression. He wants to do all these things. And all he's waiting for is a group of people to say, "God, we're going to believe. We're going to believe. We're going to stand together." Are we perfect? No. Do we have a wonderful, perfect God? Yes. 120 in the upper room in unity changed the known world. And so I want to invite you. I'm going to share this evening about this. I'm really going to encourage you. I want to build up your faith. I want to explain to you why does church exist? And why have we become Christians? For the people out there. For the people out there. And maybe for some of us here tonight as well. If you get this, you'll never be the same again. If you get this, you'll live a life that is so unique, so special, so blessed. If you get this. Okay, so Revelation 12, verse 11. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb. So I want to speak about the blood. So let's go to Genesis 4, verses 3 to 5. Cain and Abel. Now you've probably heard the story of Cain and Abel. And this historical happening explains to us the significance of the blood. And so the two brothers, the sons of Adam and Eve, it says, and in the process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought an offering of the fruit of the ground to the Lord. Abel also brought of the firstborn of his flock and of their fat. And the Lord respected Abel and his offering, but he did not respect Cain and his offering. And Cain was very angry and his countenance fell. So basically, the two brothers came. The one was a farmer with fruit, vegetables, and things like that. And he brought some of that as an offering to God. He wanted to draw near to God. Then the other brother brought some of the flock, some of the sheep, for an offering. And the sheep was obviously sacrificed, and there was blood shed. And then God says, he respected Abel. He respected the blood offering. He respected the lamb that was slain. But he did not respect the fruit of the ground, which Cain brought. You see, an offering of blood was accepted and is acceptable by God, but nothing else would do. If you want to draw near to God, you can come by no other means but by, it was pointing to the future, it was pointing to the New Testament, it was pointing to the cross, but by the blood of Jesus Christ. It's the only way that we can come to God. There's unbelievable significance in the blood. And I shared about that last week. I'm taking it a bit further. God has prepared, and he's through time prepared through Scripture. He's tried to point for us to the significance of the blood, to the significance and the power of the blood of Jesus Christ. And then it says in Genesis 4, verse 7, God speaking. And he says, if you do well, speaking to Cain, if you do well, will you not be accepted? And if you do not do well, sin lies at the door, and its desire is for you, but you should rule over it. This is very profound. Very profound. He's saying, God is saying, if you come by the blood, I will accept you. But if you come by another means, by your own strength, by the toil of your own life. I mean, he was a farmer and he was working. So that represented his toil. And he's saying, God, look at me. I'm coming when I'm bringing this to you. But that wasn't good enough. Because you can only come by the blood. If you've come by the blood, then up on top of that, you can bring the rest. And then this amazing thing. He says, if you do not do well, if you don't come by the blood, sin lies at the door, and its desire is for you. That's amazing. So what happens is the moment you and I draw near to God in the wrong way, it's we open the door to sin, for sin to come into our lives. Sin is like a lion. It's crouching outside, and it's wanting to take us out. If we come by the blood, we covered. There's special grace being made available to us But if we come by another means, if we come to God and say, God, I'm such a good person. I give so much of my money. You owe me, Lord, as an example. Or, Lord, I've been so good this week. I only swore once. Only once, Lord. Only once. So I can come to you, Lord. I'm a good person. I haven't killed anybody. I didn't really... I was angry there, but Lord, I'm actually a nice person. So God, I can come to you. God is saying, if you come by any other means, you open the door to sin in your life. Why? Because you step outside of grace. Grace comes by the blood. Grace comes by our trust in what Jesus did for us on the cross. And we're saying, God, thank you. See, Jesus was our substitute. Our substitute. You and I, with Cain or with Abel and every other blood sacrifice through the ages. In the Old Testament, they sacrificed just normal 1,200 animals a year, the Hebrews, with the tabernacle. And that was without every individual coming and bringing their own sin sacrifice. And if you sinned, you would have to bring your little lamb. And you had to put your hand on the lamb heavily. It says, and heavily lay your hand upon his head because it's symbolic of your sin being transferred to the lamb. And then as you look this little lamb in the eyes, you have to cut its throat. And then it would be slaughtered and put onto the altar and it would take your place. I know it sounds gruesome, but I mean, that's what they did. That's what they did because God was trying to say to us, I'm going to send the lamb. The one that will be your substitute. He was pointing there. Come by the blood and you will be accepted. So in fleshly, our own strength offering, saying I've got something to offer to a perfect holy God. The moment we do that, it opens the door to sin and his sin will hunt us down because there's no grace. There's no grace. Even the Apostle Paul said, I do not do what I want to do. I do what is wrong. And then I realize it is sin that is with me. And he says, who will deliver me from this body of death? I thank God through Jesus Christ. I thank God through Jesus Christ. His blood provides grace. Grace. So we are vulnerable to sin. If we approach God religiously, if we approach a historical dead God, we are in trouble. If you and I think that our 5 cents can match God's 1 million rand or 1 billion rand fine that he's paid, it's like, Lord, here's my 5 cents. That's offensive to God. We must say, God, I come by the blood. I come by your offering. I come by your sacrifice. I come by what you have done. I don't boast in anything else. Because you see, you and I, we need grace. And the only way you and I will receive grace if we realize how much we need God. Do you realize how much you need God? The closer I come to God, the more I realize how sinful I am. And how unworthy I am. But the amazing thing is, it's not like, oh, I'm so unworthy and I can't come and you come like a worm to God. It's not at all like that. When the blood cleanses you, when the blood washes you, spiritually speaking, you can step boldly before the throne room of the living God. When the blood covers us, then sin cannot enter. I want to give somebody hope here tonight. Whoever is struggling with some form of sin, I'm not just talking about a gross external stuff. I'm even talking about our hearts. You see, sin is mostly in the heart. Bad attitudes, jealousy, covetousness, lust, etc. When the blood covers us, then sin cannot enter. It's like the blood of Jesus Christ immunizes us against sin. I've experienced this often in my life. The moment the grace of God rests upon me, I just don't want to do wrong anymore. Done it in the past. Man, I should be. But there's grace. To live a holy life, not in your own strength, but joyfully by the strength of God. The blood immunizes you and me against sin. That when those germs come, when that temptation come, you just say no. Because the blood has immunized my heart. We can rule over sin by the blood of Christ. That's what that scripture says. God speaks to him and said, if you do not do well, sin lies at the door and his desire is for you, but you should rule over it. You should rule. You should overcome it. Those areas in your life that you're so frustrated with, maybe your eating habits, maybe your passivity, maybe your laziness, maybe this or that. We can rule over it by the blood of Jesus Christ, the grace that is extended to us by the blood. We were praying the one time, and I saw a picture. Or somebody else, I don't know who saw the picture. Maybe somebody else saw the picture. But it sort of over time becomes my picture. And somebody saw a snake biting somebody's foot. And then sort of the poison going through the blood vessels of the body and the heart becoming slower and slower and slower. The poison setting in. And I believe that's like sin setting in. There's nothing that causes a Christian to switch off to God than this poison that comes in. Little stuff. Just compromising. A little bit more, a little bit more, a little bit more, a little bit more. I'll just check a little bit on the internet. Or I'll just do this. Or I'll just do a little bit of that. And then a little bit more poison. And a little bit more poison. A little bit more poison. And then when you come to church and you see me in the seventh heaven, you're thinking, what's wrong with this guy? There's nothing happening here. Because sin has set in, or coldness of heart has set in. Different things it could be. It's not just sin. Don't misunderstand. I'm not saying it's because of sin. But sin would do that. It's like a poison that goes through our bodies. And then when the presence of God comes, it's like our hearts can't connect. We can't relate. We can't. But when the blood of Christ comes, it's like having a blood transfusion. New blood. Good time to say amen. A blood transfusion. And the poison is just washed out. And your heart is made new, fresh, alive. You come to church and you want to, let's praise the Lord tonight. Because my God is alive. He is not dead. He has done this in my life. I am a new person. I am a new person. I am a new person. For what God has done in my life. And with many of us, that's the same. But when we trust in the blood of Jesus Christ and allow a blood transfusion, you will no longer desire that which is wrong. That which is bad. Yes, sometimes we'll struggle, but then we must come back to the blood and say, Lord, I'm feeling like my old self again. Help me today. Help me today. Let your blood cleanse me. The blood cleanses. I'm just speaking to your hearts tonight, even if your mind doesn't get it. Let your spirit get this. Genesis 4, verse 8 and 9. Now Cain talked with Abel, his brother. Cain didn't listen to God. When God said to him, beware, sin is crouching. It's wanting to take you like a lion, but you must rule over it by coming to me with a blood offering. He didn't listen. He didn't hear. And it says, and it came to pass when they were in the field that Cain rose up against Abel, his brother, and killed him. So he rose up and killed him. Why? Because Cain walked in the flesh. He walked by his own strength. He trusted in himself. He boasted in himself. He came to God and said, God, look at our heart. I've worked for you, Lord. Aren't you impressed? I'm sorry to say, but we can't impress God. We can't impress him. We can bless him, but we can't impress him. And so sin entered and conquered Cain, and he did this ghastly evil of murdering his brother. And I believe many Christians have committed terrible sins because sin conquered them. They didn't rule over sin by the blood. And I'm not just talking about the traditional sins. I'm talking about as well, Cain became a murderer. Do you know that you can murder somebody else with words? You can kill somebody with words. That's what lots of religious Christians do. They start persecuting the one that is drawn near to God. And they are jealous, and so they start persecuting. We sometimes find it between churches. Start speaking badly about that church and those people. Becoming a murderer. Because they're not coming by the blood. If you come by the blood, you're going to be humble. You're going to love. You're not going to accuse. Verse 10 and 11. God speaking to Cain. This is the crux. And he said to Cain, "What have you done? The voice of your brother's blood cries out to me from the ground." How's that for interesting? God is saying, although Abel is dead, I'm still hearing his blood crying out to me for justice. Crying out to me to avenge his blood. And so here it comes. "So now you are cursed from the earth, Cain, which has opened its mouth to receive your brother's blood from your hand." And that's what happens in the nations. If you read further in the Old Testament, it says when there is bloodshed, any form of bloodshed, somebody's murdered, somebody's killed, and there isn't justice for the bloodshed, it brings a curse upon the nation. And that's something South Africa is struggling with. There's a lack of justice. If there was justice, there would be more grace for the blood to come, for the blood to speak the right things. So in the Old Testament, the blood spoke, and it was a curse. It was judgment, justice, vengeance. But then there's a new covenant voice. There's a good voice. There's an exciting voice. Listen to this. Hebrews 12, verse 22 to 24. This is beautiful. This is a picture of the throne room of God, the throne room in heaven. It is described. It says, the verses just before this, it says, "For you have not come to the mountain where Moses was. You've not come to the old voice that spoke. You have come to Mount Zion and to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem." There you have it, the throne room of the heavenly city. "To an innumerable company of angels." So there are angels in heaven. "To the general assembly and church of the firstborn who are registered in heaven." All the saints who have died, they are there in heaven right now. The firstborn registered in heaven. "To God, the judge of all." And then it says, "To the spirits of just men made perfect." Now what is that? To the spirits of just men made perfect. John Bevere believes, and I agree with him, that that is you and I, whose spirits have been made washed, cleansed, perfect by the blood of Jesus. And so now when you and I pray, and when you and I worship, when you and I come before God, we close our eyes and we feel the presence of God around us. It's like us stepping before the throne room of God and saying, "God, we love you. We are here to bless you." "The spirits of just men made perfect." To Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant. Jesus standing in heaven, sitting in heaven. So we come to him and we give him homage. We pay homage. We honor him. And then look at this. "And we come to the blood of sprinkling." Glorious. "We come to the blood of sprinkling that speaks better things than that of Abel." I love this. So in heaven, Jesus walked into heaven after his death and after his ascension. And he took his blood before the throne room of the living God and he sprinkled it. As the high priest did in the Old Testament. And he sprinkled his blood upon the judgment seat of the living God. And the judgment seat was changed to a seat of mercy, to a seat of grace. Previously, where God was the judge, judging all, when you and I trust in Jesus Christ, he becomes the merciful one. And we can perfectly step into his presence. It doesn't matter what you have done in the past. It doesn't matter how bad the sin was. It doesn't matter how ghastly it was in your sight. It doesn't matter how badly you've messed up. The blood has been sprinkled. Jesus has died in your place. Now, why do you take a whip and still beat yourself over the head saying, I'm so bad. I'm so bad. When Jesus said, no, I will take that sin upon myself. And he was struck and he was beaten until his blood flowed before the cross and on the cross. Jesus took it upon himself, the blood. And so the blood speaks. The blood speaks. There's a scripture. I'm ending off in a moment. There's a scripture that says, 2 Corinthians 1, verse 20 to 22. For all the promises of God in him are yes, and in him amen, to the glory of God through us. Now he who established us with you in Christ. But it says the promises of God are yes and amen. This amazing thing happened. Why was Jesus Christ born from a virgin? Why was Jesus Christ born from a virgin? Why did it have to be a virgin? Why did it have to be? Only by the Spirit of God. You see, the scripture says, and the Holy Spirit hovered over Mary and she conceived. What does it mean? God was the one providing the male DNA, and Mary provided the female DNA for this son that was born. Why is that significant? That means that when Jesus lived and walked on this earth, he did not have human blood alone. His DNA was God and human. Why is that significant? Because Jesus had to shed his blood. I remember reading this, it's beautiful. Every day when Jesus was walking on earth, he didn't think, I have to pay a big price. And the price is in my pocket, in my wallet. And I have to pay a big price for all of mankind's sin. No, he didn't carry his payment in his pocket. He carried the payment in his veins, in his blood. Every time, I just can imagine him while he's 33 years on earth, looking at his veins and thinking, that is the payment price. That is the payment price. God, blood, holy blood. And as he hung on that cross, as his blood was shed, as it struck the ground, as Abel's blood cried out to God, so the blood of Christ started to cry out from the ground. And it wasn't just human blood. It wasn't just in that area where Abel was, oh God, justice. Now it was the blood. I can just see this. If we could do a movie about it someday, it'd be wonderful. You can just see the blood just covering the earth in the spirit realm, circling the earth a thousandfold. And there's a voice crying out from the earth where you and I are standing right now. And this voice is crying out to heaven saying, Father, have mercy on these people. Yes, Lord, they deserve justice. Yes, Lord, they deserve judgment. Yes, Lord, they deserve punishment for their sins. But I have paid the price. And so the voice is crying out, saying, every promise is yes. It is saying yes. Can you say yes? You come to God and say, Lord, would you heal me? The answer of the blood says yes. Lord, I need provision. The blood responds and says yes. Lord, I need your help. The answer comes from the blood and it says yes. I've made provision. I've made provision. I've made provision. Our God is alive. He is not dead. He isn't dead. He isn't dead. He is alive and the blood is speaking. I'm just proclaiming this to your spirit, that something on the inside of you will get a revelation that you can come by the blood. You can walk into your workplace and you can say, Lord, I thank you for the blood that is speaking mercy over my workplace right now. Lord, I thank you that I can go home and receive your grace there because the blood is speaking there as well. The blood speaks. You see, the Old Testament, the animal sacrifices, it was like a tablecloth covering the sins. There was a stain on the table, the sin stain, and so the tablecloth was thrown over it, and so it covered. It covered the stain. New Testament, that blood of Christ, it works underneath, and it removes the stain. It removes our sin as far as the east is from the west. This is good news. This is good news. Don't know if you've ever been in sin, you've ever struggled with your humanity, ever struggled with your weakness. This is good news for all us normal people. This is great news. And so this scripture to end off with. The blood that speaks better. Revelation 12, verse 10. I read verse 11 earlier that says they overcame him by the blood and by the word and did not love their lives to the death. Now look at this. The verse just before. It says, then I heard a loud voice. Can you say loud voice? Loud voice. I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now, can you say now? Now, salvation. Now, strength. Now, the kingdom of our God. Now, the power of his Christ have come for the accuser of our brethren who accused them before our God day and night has been cast down. I believe it. I have no proof for this, but I believe that that voice is the blood speaking in heaven as well. Not just on earth, but in heaven before the throne room of God. And it's saying now. We've got a messed up world, don't we? Messed up town. Messed up lives all around us. Maybe some of our lives here as well. But there's a voice. And the voice is declaring now. Things are changing. Now, salvation to whosoever. That's what the scripture says. To whosoever calls upon the name of the Lord, they will be saved. Now, strength for whatever you need. Any challenge. You're struggling to forgive? Come to the blood and receive strength to forgive. The blood. Strength for whatever challenge you're facing. The kingdom of our God right now, the kingdom of God can come right now in any one of our lives right now. The kingdom of God can come right now. God has already paid the price. The problem, the disconnect is you and me, our faith, our lack of faith, our lack of trust. The kingdom of God come. The power of his Christ come. And then the accuser cast down. I'm sure you've experienced this. The accuser coming to speak to your voice, to your ears, telling you, you're bad, in a bad way. You, this, you're not good enough, you can't come to God, you're such a sinner, you're so bad. The devil comes to me and says, yes, I'm bad, in a good way. I'm bad for Jesus. That was a joke. But the accuser comes, the blood silences the accuser. When the accuser comes and tells you and reminds you of your sin, you should say, speak to my wonderful hand and to the blood of Jesus and get out of my life. I am washed by the blood of Jesus. The blood cleanses. The blood washes. The blood restores. The blood heals. The blood makes us new. The blood makes us able to come before a living God as perfect, although we are very vulnerable and weak. That's the power of the blood. The power of the blood. I'm speaking this because I want you and me to get a revelation of the power of the blood of Jesus Christ. And then that scripture said, and they overcame him by the blood and by the word of their testimony. The blood speaks. Do you know what you and I should do? We should allow the blood to speak through us. That same message that is resonating from the whole earth, saying mercy, grace, salvation, kingdom, life, blessing, forgiveness, repentance. That same voice we should allow into our mouths and to say, the blood of Christ has changed me. I have a witness today. The blood of Jesus Christ has cleansed me. Doesn't matter what I've done in the past. I'm a new person. The blood of Christ gives me the grace to live every life with a smile on my face or a smile on my dial. The blood of Christ is powerful. The blood of Christ is powerful. Let's close our eyes. I want to pray for us. Father, we thank you. Lord, we thank you for the blood. We thank you, Lord, for your sacrifice. And yes, Lord, we acknowledge that this evening there are many of us with fears, maybe tensions, maybe depressions, maybe challenges, maybe sins in our hearts, lives. And yes, Lord, we need you. We need the blood of Christ to cleanse us. We need the blood of Christ to cover our lives. We need the blood of Christ to cover this church. We need the blood of Christ to cover our workplace, our homes, our families, our finances, our vehicles, our lives, our loved ones. We need the blood of Christ. We need it, Lord. So God, we praise your name for that, that it is available now. It is available right now. The love of Christ, salvation, deliverance, healing. If you realize this afternoon that there's an area in your heart, in your life, where you just need cleansing, you just need like living waters just to flow through your life and cleanse you. You need the blood of Christ to wash you as white as snow. If that is you, just stand where you're sitting. Just stand up. As a sign, God, I want you to cleanse me. I want you to cleanse me. I want you to make everything new on the inside of me. Lord, we bless your name. Just stand. If you want those living waters just to cleanse you. Blessed be the name of Jesus. And then I feel there are some of us, we're struggling with depression, heaviness, a burden on your shoulders. If that is you, also just stand. Lord, we bless you just for a deliverance tonight from heavy burdens, Lord God. Heavy burdens, Lord God, in the name of Jesus. In the name of the Lord Jesus. God, we embrace, we apply the blood of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And I just feel in my heart as well, those of us that need grace to overcome, victory over sin, victory over some form of challenge, if that is you, also just stand. This is a sign to God saying, Lord, I want the grace of your blood to flow into my life. Worship you, God. Just thank him for the blood right now. It's where you're standing, sitting, just thank him for the blood. Lord, thank you for the blood. Thank you for the blood. Thank you for the blood. So, Father, we bring each one of these precious people before you, Lord God. And we ask for a washing. We ask for a cleansing. We ask for a restoration. We ask for your blessing, Lord God, to come and settle upon them right now. Call upon me in your time of need, and I will be there for you. That's what I feel the Lord is saying. Call upon me in your time of need, and I will be there for you. Blessed be the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, for your grace. In the name of Jesus. Let's all stand. Stand with us if you want to. Thank you, Lord. Right now, by faith, by trust in you, we receive the power of the blood. We apply the blood over every promise that you've given to us, Lord. Every promise in the scriptures are yes and amen. Every promise of grace is ours this year. And so, God, we come and stand before the throne room of the living God. We're standing outside and we realize we need a pass. We need something, a key, to open that door that we can step in. Oh, Jesus, thank you for your blood. It is our pass. It is our key. And so, Lord, we turn, we take that key and we apply it, and the door opens and we step in to all the treasures of the living God. All the resources, all the help, all the grace, all the blessings of God. We come to receive. We come to receive. Thank you, Lord, for the blood over 2010. There is power in the blood of Jesus Christ. When God forgives us our sins, and Scripture says He forgets it. He forgets it. If you come to Him, you tell Him, Lord, I can't, I've done this bad stuff. God's saying, what bad stuff? The blood covers, cleanses, and washes away. Let's come boldly this year to the Lord. Not with our heads hanging, but as children of the living God boldly. I just want to ask, as every eye is closed, and believers just softly praying, I want to ask, is there anybody here that you know that you've not come into a relationship with Jesus Christ yet? Maybe you've gone to church like I did, speaking about a historical Jesus, but you've not experienced Him. You can't say, I have met Jesus, and He's alive and He's real to me. I don't care how long you've gone to church, if you haven't met Him, it's not going to work. You have to meet Him. How do you meet Him? You come before Him and say, Lord, I'm a sinner, and Lord, I don't deserve your forgiveness, but I come by your blood and I give my life to you. Is there anybody here this evening, as every eye is closed, and you realize You've been serving a historical Jesus, not the living God. And you want to break out of that mold. Just raise your hand, please, as a sign to the Lord. Anybody? Just raise your hand, saying, God, I want to break out. Thank you for those hands. Anybody else? It literally takes a call to the Lord. Say, Lord, I want to know you. I want to step out and know the living God. With all my heart, thank you for that hand. The Lord bless you. Anybody else? It's a wonderful opportunity. I feel the presence of God is here to set us free. Set us free. Anybody else? Take this moment. Raise your hand. Say, God, I want to know the living God, the living Christ, the one that transforms. Thank you for those hands. You can drop your hands again. Thank you. The blood of Jesus Christ is now proclaiming, speaking from the ground, saying, Lord, give, extend mercy to these precious, to God. Anybody else? If you've not raised your hand. There's about four people that raised their hands. Can I ask you to be bold enough to come to the front and come stand with me that I can pray with you? Just take the step. I know it's challenging. I'm not doing this to you. Let's put our hands together. Awesome. Blessed. Taking this bold step. Come on, guys. There were some three guys there at the back. Don't be afraid. Okay, I'll pray with you guys then later. Lord, we bless you. Lord, I thank you that you see this step, this childlike step, Lord God, of saying, I want to know the living Christ. Lord, and I pray that you will bless him for the step of faith, Lord God. Yes, Lord, he's been serving you for many years already, Lord God, but I thank you that he wants to know you fully, completely. And so, God, in the name of Jesus, we speak your blessing upon him right now. Bless his step of faith. Bless, Lord God, his stepping out. In Jesus' name, God, we pray and apply the blood of Jesus Christ for his life. We pray that you will extend grace to him, Lord, that he will experience your presence like never before. Intimacy that boggles the mind. Open heavens. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord God, that he will hardly cry. He will hardly call out to you. And you will be there for him. And meet with him. And bless him. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Lord, we bless you. For the grace, for your blessing, for your goodness. Do this, Lord God. Let the blood cover his life. In the name of Jesus. We're going to be praying with you now in a moment. I want to ask, I just feel this in my heart. And then we're going to sing Our God Reigns. If you feel that you are lukewarm, you feel there's not a fire in your heart for God, and you want a fire. You want to be on fire for God. You want to live for him with everything within you. Would you be so bold to come and stand here in the front and to say, God, I want you to put a fire in my heart that the blood may speak to me and speak through me. Anybody, come and stand here. Just say, Lord, I want the fire of God in my heart. I want a flame to burn. Stirring in our hearts, Lord God. A stirring in our hearts, Lord God, an awakening. Where the living God is living, where he's real, where he walks just next to us. He whispers in our ears. Here we hear his voice. Lord, in the name of Jesus, we speak an awakening to every heart. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. An awakening, Lord God. by the blood, stirring by the blood. May the blood not just speak from the ground. May the blood speak from our hearts, from our hearts, from our mouths, from our lives. May every step, every action, every song, every thought bring glory to the living God. May the blood speak through us, Lord God. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Lord, I thank you. I thank you, Lord, for the power of God that is going to manifest in our lives and through. In the name of Jesus. Lord, that the broken would be healed. The blind would see, Lord God, even if it's just spiritually blind. May they see. Thank you, Lord. I just feel in my heart that the Lord is saying, you ain't seen nothing yet. You haven't seen what I can do. You haven't seen me move. It is fearsome. It is awesome. It is glorious. It is lasting. It is eternal when I move. Thank you, Lord. So, God, we thank you. Stirring in our hearts. The voice of Jesus Christ may go forth from this church. That the voice of Jesus Christ may go forth from our lives. To every lost soul in this city. To every lost person in the Eastern Cape. May the voice of Jesus Christ be lifted up in every church in this whole region. Let the blood speak, Lord. Let the blood speak. Let the blood speak. Let the blood speak. Let the blood speak. In Jesus' name. I feel in my heart that God is saying that those things that you have been struggling with over years, those things that you have thought you overcame, but then you came and you fell again. You struggled again. I feel God is saying, by the blood, He will give you the victory. Just receive that as a promise. Just receive that as a promise. He, God Almighty, will give you the victory. Oh God, we seek the living God. Not the historical one. We seek you right here in our midst. Thank you, Lord. And I just feel in my heart, God is saying, He will answer that prayer. He will come into our presence. Thank you, Jesus. God, thank you. So, Father, we speak the blessing of God upon every person, every precious person, Lord. I know for some of us, it doesn't necessarily make so much sense what I've been sharing, but I pray that their hearts would pick up. And in the days to come, that you would reveal to us the power of your blood to change lives. That's what we want.